Today on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1-300-872-911.
Now, if you were listening yesterday, we had a call from Beth, and Beth said, I was reading Matt Canavan in the Cairns Post today under the heading, Don't Leave Nation Reliant on China. Now, let me just briefly read the first few lines of this article that Matt wrote. It says, Australia's lagging the rest of the world just as we are set to sign up to a net zero emissions target. Everyone's in a desperate rush to get more coal, more oil and more gas. In the United Kingdom, they've reopened coal power stations because there's been a wind drought and Vladimir Putin is not sending them as much gas as he used to. The United States has asked Middle Eastern countries to increase oil production because the woke Wall Street bankers are no longer financing fracking in Texas. In China, Premier Li said this month, coal supply is crucial to people's lives, and he would review China's emissions targets in light of their recent energy crisis. He stressed energy security was China's priority. I'm going to cut to the chase here, because the question that Beth was putting was all about carbon credits. Now, Matt went on to say this, we are set to look this gift horse in the mouth by signing up to a net zero emissions target, and net zero emissions target means any new coal mine or gas field in Australia would need to net off its emissions by buying carbon credits. Now, if I remember rightly, the main point that Beth was making was, if we're buying the carbon credits, where does the bloody money go? Now, I've got Matt Canavan on the line here. Hello, Matt.
G'day, John. How are you, mate?
This is very kind of you to come at very short notice on this program and talk with Beth and talk her through this matter, because the queue to get you today, I was just told, started at Darwin. For interviews.
Oh, well, yeah, look, there's a lot of people been angry at me this week, John. A lot of people angry at me.
And I think there's also a lot on side.
I think, though, when people in Canberra are angry at me, I'm doing my job for North Queensland.
Exactly.
That's my test, and I'm meeting the test this week.
You're onto something. Go away. I've got Beth on the line. Are you there, Beth?
I am, John.
We got Matt on the line. I was pretty lucky this morning to get him before everyone else did. On your behalf, now the question on carbon credits, I'm so pleased you've asked it, because fundamentally people's eyes glaze over when we start talking carbon credits. Can you put to Matt the point you were making or the question you were asking about carbon credits?
Well, it's pretty simple. If we're buying carbon credits, what do we actually get for our money? And this so-called pie-in-the-sky organisation, what do they do with that money? And you've gone on to say that the banks are happy with this outcome because they will trade the carbon credits. Now, do the carbon credits become a company that is floated on the share market? And if it's floated on the share market and shares, people are just looking for dividends. I'm totally confused about how buying credits actually helps offset carbon. I'm at a bit of a stump with it.
Over to you, Matt.
Well, thank you, Beth, and it's a very important question. The carbon credits are notionally recreated when a company does something that doesn't, or someone does something that doesn't create as much carbon as they used to. So, for example, some people in Australia are taking what used to be farmland and putting trees on it, and under the maths that's allowed, they say these trees take enough carbon out of the atmosphere, more than the pastures that they replace, and therefore that difference, that's a carbon offset. Now, what will typically happen and where the banks get involved is that farmer or that person who owns this land, often they're big multinational corporations, a lot of them are buying up farmland to do this. Bill Gates is buying up farmland to do this. They'll then sell these credits, these offsets, to a bank who will wrap them up, you know, like those mortgages they wrapped up over there in the US that caused the financial crisis, and sell them to various companies like Qantas and the banks who want to show to us all how good people they are. I mean, the banks, they want to show to us that they're carbon neutral because we know that the banks are very ethical and never do anything wrong. And so they will then sell those to these people, and the banks then make money. Because when you create a market, so what will happen is they'll be traded. So you can then, once they're created, you can buy and sell them. There'll be all these derivative contracts and all these financial instruments. there is in Europe, where this is much more developed. And the banks have all more jobs doing that and trading these imaginary financial instruments of trading a gas that you can't see, can't smell, called carbon dioxide. That's why the banks are really keen on it, because you can make a lot of money trading things, and this will be a lot of money. So previous, the government have been critical of the government this week. They haven't released the modelling around net zero emissions. But in previous modelling of carbon reduction efforts in Australia, they've shown that we would have to as a country spend up to $50 billion a year buying these credits from overseas. Mm. So some of them, true, will be created here in Australia. Mm. But most likely to offset all our emissions from coal mining, from gas production, we will have to pay overseas countries to do this. And your money will end up going, your taxes, your extra costs of your electricity, extra costs of driving a car, will be going overseas to pay somebody over there to do something. And a lot of these schemes overseas are rorted, as you'd expect. You know, there's a lot of corruption. They don't really reduce carbon. They just say they do and get paid for it. It's a total rort and scam.
Does that put your mind at ease, Beth?
Not at all. Okay, I'm a self-funded retiree. I'm at the end of my working life, but I still, we still have expenses. We still buy electricity and we still drive cars and whatever. To me, it just sounds like all smoke and mirrors. Like, it sounds like a big con. I don't care if we have to buy something tangible that you can hold in your hand, you can use it or you can resell it. That's fine. But these, it sounds like it's completely intangible. And the fact that you've said it has to be overseas, why does it have to be overseas? Why can't it be here in Australia? After all, you know, we do have the raw materials much more than most nations in the world. But how has it actually got to this point? Like, I'm the first one to say I believe in looking after our environment, and I live what I believe. We've got a rainwater tank. I recycle or repurpose everything I can. I've got compost, the whole lot. I don't take plastic bags. I look at, when I go shopping, can I buy in bulk so I'm not bringing home plastic, yada, yada, yada. You know, I do all of that. So I'm not just one of these people that sits on the sidelines and criticises, but I like to see, value for what I'm doing. And I just can't equate the value to what I'm reading and combine that to what you just said. Where's the value?
I completely agree with you, Beth, and that's why I'm fighting this, because I do think this is a scam and a con to make a lot of money for people who are already rich. Just look at who's the biggest advocates for net zero, the loudest people who are saying we should adopt this target, this imaginary net zero emissions by 2050 target. It is often the richest people in our country. It is Twiggy Forrest. Overseas, it's large investors like Larry Fink, who heads BlackRock, the largest financial company in the world. This will be very good for the rich people of the world, because they'll still be able to afford to fly. They'll afford the offset. They'll be able to buy the offsets and fly around the world and do what they need to do. But it's the poor people in countries who won't be able to pick up the bill, whose standard of living will be lower, and it won't help the environment anyway, because, as I said, a lot of these offset programs are a complete and utter rort and scam. So that's why I'm trying to stop this, Beth. We've been sort of conned into this because all of these banks want it. We're told that the banks want us to do it, otherwise apparently they won't lend us money, the global banks. President Joe Biden wants us to do it, and good luck to him. He got elected last year, but I don't think you got a vote, Beth, in that election. I didn't vote in the US election, and I think we should decide what happens to our coal industry, our gas industry. But it's more than that. It's our agricultural industry, because cows, unfortunately, emit a lot of methane, a greenhouse gas, so they're in the gun.
So we
need to decide this for ourselves, in my view, because we should not outsource the responsibility to look after Australian jobs to another country, especially when China is not even turning up to this conference next week. President Xi Jinping is not going. And so they're 30% of the world's carbon emissions. They're sitting back laughing at us. Well, we handicap their own industry.
That's how I see it too.
And they'll take all their jobs.
Yeah, that's how I see it too. You know, they're basically thumbing their nose at it, or at us in particular, My husband and I went to China in 2018. They're not as poor as they're making out to be. You know, I know they were given, back in, 1940s, concessions and everything because they were a third world country. They're not a third world country anymore. Like, from what we saw, their infrastructure is phenomenal. The picture that they're trying to paint of China as, oh, we're a third world country, we've got to increase, the standard of living for our citizens. They've already done that. Now it's just a case of, ha, 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 we're laughing all the way to the bank.
And under these agreements, Beth, under the climate agreements, China gets to decide whether it is defined as a developing country or not. So they get to make that decision. And if they're a developing country, they don't have to make any cuts to their carbon emissions. They're allowed to keep doing whatever they like. And you're absolutely right. This week, just last week, China launched a nuclear-capable hypersonic missile that can land anywhere on Earth. It can evade the existing missile defense systems of the US, but apparently they're a poor developing country.
It doesn't add up, does it? And what we saw with our own two eyes, they're no longer a developing country. Their infrastructure is huge. And yes, it has to be. You know, there's 1.5 billion people. And you won't get a democracy running with that amount of people. So while I'm not a fan of communism, I really think it's probably, the best political structure to manage that amount of people and that amount of infrastructure that's needed every single year. I mean, they have 5 million people born every year. So, that's a lot of infrastructure needed to be created. But they're doing it. They're managing it. And even the Chinese people that we spoke to, they all said, while they don't really like the government, their standard of living, is they're more than happy with it.
Now, we're getting a bit off the track, Beth. We're going to have to move on.
I know.
And thank you. By the way, Beth, are you happy with having a chat with Matt face-to-face or voice-to-voice this morning?
Yeah, thanks, John. It hasn't really allayed any of my concerns. In fact, if anything, it's probably made me a little more angry.
Well, I'm as concerned as you, Beth. I'm as concerned as you.
We're being conned.
That's why I'm down here trying to fight against it. But thank you, Beth. Thanks very much. They were very good questions.
Thanks, John.
And
thank you, Matt
Canavan, making yourself at very short notice available for this discussion. It's been illuminating. Matt Canavan, Senator Matt Canavan, Deputy Leader of Nationals in the Senate, and Beth on the line from yesterday's discussions. Now, it's 24 past 11.
There are songs that bring back great memories.